Well, we are in the Christian season of Lent. That's the 40-day period that leads into Easter Sunday. It is traditionally a time for us to reflect about our relationship to God, to do some introspection. How is it with my soul? How are things going between me and God? And our focus this season of Lent has really been on how can we see God in our lives? Because we believe that God is real and is active and that we can see God in our lives. And we've talked about it in the framework of to see God in a different light. But maybe our experience is important and it helps us see God, but maybe there's even more than meets the eye to God. And how can we kind of step back and take a fresh look at God? And so we've been exploring that together. One of our key verses comes to us from the book of Psalms, 119:18a. Open my eyes that I may see. I hope you're praying that each and every day. Open my eyes, God, that I might see you in my life. We've been talking about the spiritual practice of contemplation, about looking for God in the world. Here's one definition for that. Contemplation is a kind of seeing that's much more than just looking, because it also includes recognizing and appreciating what we see, how we see God in our lives. The contemplative mind does not tell us what to see, but teaches us how to see what we behold. So glad you're here today to be a part of this, trying to see God in our lives in a different light. After worship last week, I had someone from the congregation come up to me and wanted to talk a little bit about the sermon. And he said that what he does for a living is actually pretty interesting. He is, in essence, a professional witness for a company that does all kinds of things. And so he's often called to trials to be a professional witness on behalf of his company. Which I found was fascinating. I didn't know you could actually do that for a full living with it. You know, that's really neat that he's able to do that. And he was saying to me that a lot of times attorneys really dread it when there's multiple eyewitnesses that see something that has to go to court, right? And to me, that sounded counterintuitive. Like, you would think the more people that saw something, the better, because then they could all testify to what really happened. But he said the reason that a lot of attorneys are skeptical of that, or they don't want to see a lot of witnesses, is you have all these people who see the same incident, and they see it completely differently, right? And so if you're trying to get them to testify on your behalf, then the other people might testify the exact opposite. They saw the same incident, but they see it so differently. And the reason he told me this is because last week we talked about how we all see the world and we all see God in very different ways. And sometimes that can serve us really well, but sometimes it can kind of prevent us from seeing things as they really are. And so if you remember it last week, and if you weren't here last week, that's okay. I'm going to give just a brief recap that all of us see the world through a certain way. Like, we have a certain lens or a certain filter or a certain viewpoint or a certain worldview. That we have all this experience in our life, maybe even baggage that we have with us, and when we see something happen, we filter it through our experience and our way of seeing things. And sometimes we see it exactly right, but sometimes we might be missing something because of the way that we see the world. So we talked about last week how sometimes some of us might have a filter of distrust, that we just have been burned in our lives, and so whenever we see people, we don't trust them. And so we can meet anyone from Mother Teresa to Adolf Hitler to the little old lady who lives next to us and bakes us nice homemade cookies, and we would all see them as someone that we shouldn't trust, right? You know, people would say that's sweet that she's bringing me cookies, but I know she has a hidden agenda, and I just can't trust her, right? So in Adolf Hitler's case, we would be right, probably, to distrust him. Mother Teresa, our neighbor with the cookies, we might be seeing them in the wrong way, right? And so we bring these filters into our lives. We talked about how you could see a sunset, right? A beautiful sunset that most people in the whole world would probably agree sunsets are beautiful. It's something you want to value. It's this great way to see God. But some people might not, right? Especially if they have bad memories associated with the sunset, right? I used to love sunsets until my girlfriend dumped me. Right? I thought we were going to get married, and she broke my heart. It was at sunset. I hate seeing the sunset. When I was a little kid, my dad got in his truck, and he drove off, and he never came back. He abandoned me and my family, and he left at sunset. Right? And so from our experience, we could see something beautiful, but through our experience, it can become something painful, and we won't see it as it really is. And pretty soon we're gonna transfer that to other areas in our lives. Well, you know, sunsets let me down. Maybe sunrises aren't worth looking at. Maybe things that are beautiful just are gonna come up and bite me, and I just can't trust anything, right? So we have these filters that we see the world through, and sometimes they're helpful, but sometimes they prevent us from seeing reality, right? And it can cause us to kind of live the same day over and over again. If we're seeing through blinders, then if we meet new people, we have different experiences, we still have the same experience. We still distrust people, or we still distrust beauty, right? And so you can see how our filters can really get in the way of us seeing life as it really is. We can do that with God. If we see God as this big divine entity who's just nothing but a rule maker, who wants to enforce the rules and tries to catch us when we break the rules so God can punish us, right? If we see God in that way, then we're going to miss out on God's love and God's grace and the beauty that God has brought into the world. And sometimes if we look at the grace of God and the love of God, right, those are real things and we love that, but if that's all we see about God, then we forget that God gets angry at things like injustice and people who are hurting and suffering and starving when some of us have more food and others have no food. Like if we see God in just like this beautiful, you know, rainbow glasses, then we can forget that God gets angry about things and that we should get angry about things. And so sometimes we don't see God's full perspective. And so in psychology, they call that projection. We project what's inside of us onto the world rather than just seeing the world as it really is. So Richard Rohr, this Catholic priest that's kind of been helping us look at contemplation, says something that we looked at last week. I want to bring it back up because it's deep. To begin to see with new eyes, we must observe and usually be humiliated by the habitual way we encounter each and every moment. It's humiliating because we will see that we are well practiced in just a few predictable responses, right? We do the same thing, live the same day over and over. Few of our responses are original, fresh, or naturally respectful of what's right in front of us. The most common human responses to a new moment are mistrust, cynicism, fear, knee-jerk reactions, a spirit of dismissal, and overriding judgmentalism. Leave up for just a second. Can we go back to that, Brian? When you have a new encounter, right, which of these are true in your life? You're like, hey, this is something new. This is awesome. This person has my best interest in mind, right? Or do we have more of the mistrust, cynicism kind of thing? All right, let's go to the next slide. It's so discouraging when we have the courage to finally see that these are the common ways that the ego tries to be in control of the data instead of allowing the moment to get some control over us and teach us something new, right? So we shape reality rather than letting reality shape us. And so it's like the bumper sticker, SSDD, same stuff, different day, right? It's a different word, but you get the point, right? So what filters, what mindsets, what lenses are you looking at the world, and how do they help you, and how could they be preventing you from seeing reality as it really is? Now, I just want to say, like, the way that you see the world, the way you experience the world, the way you experience God, right? I don't want to take away from that. That's important. Your experience of God's important. I don't want to erode that or to belittle that, right? That's very important, the way you see the world, the way you see God. What I'm just challenging us all to see is, like, maybe there's more beyond that. Maybe there's more to the world, there's more to people, there's more to God than meets the eye in the way that we look at the world. So I want us to think about, how do we see God, how do we see the world a little bit more unfiltered? If we take off the lenses, we take off the viewpoints that we have, how can we see God a little bit more unfiltered? So that's kind of what we talked about last week. We're going to talk about it a little bit this week as we move forward. So I want to go to another passage of Scripture that Paul writes, 1 Corinthians 13. You probably heard this read at a wedding a lot of times. Let's see what he says in 1 Corinthians 13, 12. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. He's talking about when we finally see God in God's full glory, like when at the end of time or when we die, we go to heaven, right? Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. I like that first phrase, now we see God in a mirror dimly, right? We can see God, but there's the mysterious part of God that we can't see, right? And it's okay for us not to wait until we die or until Jesus comes back that we want to kind of try to clean the mirror, right? I want to see God more. I want to see God more than what I know of God now. And it's okay for us to hunger to see God in a different light, to go deeper with God. And so how can we, like, you know, that mirror's kind of dimly. You think about the lens that we see the world through, kind of like contact lens or the glasses that you have. Like, how can we begin to wipe the lens, right? If we're seeing God through like a narrow lens, how can we wipe that up? How can we clear it up? What are some things that we can do? Well, one of them is just to try to think about, how can I wipe the lens that I see the world through? It served me in some ways, but what might it be blocking? So here's some questions that we can ask ourselves, right? What's my agenda, right? What is my predisposition? Am I trusting of people? Am I distrusting of people? Right? What's my goal today in the world? What are my prejudices, right? About people, about life, about nature, about politics, right? What are my angers? What makes me angry? So what are the things that shape the way that we see the world? Right? What are the things in our lives? So what I'm asking you to do is to take a step back and to look at yourself, right? To have some self-awareness. What drives you? Right? When you meet a new person, what's your initial judgment of them? Right? Some of that's going to be right, and some of it's going to be wrong because it's prejudiced in some sort of way, right? So what are these things that we need to wipe? And if you're having a hard time answering those questions, then maybe it's a good thing to ask somebody that knows you really well that you can trust. To say, from your perspective, what seems to drive me? What are my blind spots? What are my prejudices, right? What makes me angry? How do I see the world? How do I see people? To find someone that you trust to be able to do that. Now, Richard Rohr says it takes courage to do this, right? When we start looking into our lives and the things in our lives, we're going to find that we're not perfect, that there's some brokenness inside of us, that we might not be as smart as we think we are. We might not be as kind as we think we are. We might not be as friendly or loving as we think we are. And so as we do this, we might begin to think, well, I might not be good enough, or I might not be loving enough, you know. And so it's hard work to do some of the lens wiping stuff, right? This is what Richard Rohr says about that, right? The wounds to our ego are our teachers and must be welcomed. It's going to be hard to do some self-examination, to have people help us look at what motivates us, but it's helpful. Because it's true, and none of us should expect to be perfect. We all have issues that we need to deal with and recognize, right? And at the end of that, I think sometimes we don't want to do the work because we're afraid that we're not worthy, we're not lovable, right? But look what we read in 1 John, right? There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. I'm scared no one's going to love me. I'm scared to look at myself. I'm scared to look at the demons in my closet, kind of a thing. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because God first loved us. Now, when we are doing our work of wiping the lens and we're finding out we're not perfect, we have some good stuff, we have some bad stuff, right? The good news is God loves us anyway. God loves you. He made you in his image. He knows that you're not perfect, but he loves you anyway. God will never love you any more or any less than he does right now. It doesn't matter what you do. God's going to love you, right? God might be happier for you or less disappointed if we start living a certain way, but God will never love you more or less, right? And so when we start to do the work of wiping the lens of what drives us and what are some of the broken things inside of us, know that God loves you. God already knows who you are. Remember, one of our core values is transformation. God meets us where we are. God meets you where you are. So don't be afraid to ask some of the questions and to wipe the lens, right? What is it that's driving? What are the good things that are driving me? What are things that are broken that are driving me? And how does that keep my view of the world narrow? And how could I step back from that, okay? So that's one way that we can try to see God unfiltered. Another way that we see God unfiltered, we've talked a little bit about it in the series, and it's not something that we have to choose. It's going to happen to us anyway. One way that we see God unfiltered is when a crisis happens in our life, when something bad happens in our life, when we suffer, when we feel pain, physical pain or emotional pain. A lot of times that shakes us up and it blows up our filters and we begin to see the world as it really is. And it's not fun. Right? This is not the one where you say, God, I want to see you unfiltered. Help me suffer more. Right? Where none of us are raising our hand to do that. Right? But we don't have to. It's going to happen. But in those times, I think we can learn some lessons. Right? For example, I always thought people that didn't have jobs were lazy. No good. You want to get a job, you go out and get a job. Well, guess what? I just got laid off. And I'm not lazy. Maybe I need to look at people in a different way. I always thought people who were sick just didn't take care of themselves. They didn't eat right. They didn't exercise, right? They had it coming to them. But I just got a diagnosis that I might die, and I've been eating right, and I've been exercising. Wow. Maybe I need to see people in a different way. In our pain, in our crisis, sometimes we learn some hard lessons of humility, and it's tough, and I don't want to go through it either. Richard Rohr says this: it's often when the ego is most deconstructed that we can hear things anew and begin some honest reconstruction. Right? We got one more that I want to read to you. Right? So what he encourages us to do, right, as a spiritual practice when we're suffering is to hold the pain. It's spiritually wise to stay with your pain, whatever it is, until you've learned its lessons. That doesn't sound like fun. That's not what we're going to put on the billboard out front. Hey, hold your pain. Come to South Park Church, right? And it's hard because the first thing that we want to do is to get past the pain, right? Trust me, I'm a Duke basketball fan. I am holding the pain today. Carolina's beat us two times in a row. God, how much more pain can I take, right? Now, that's making light of this. Some of us have some real pain in our lives. Had someone in our congregation say to me recently, I just started a new business, and you know, they're excited about that, but it's harder than they thought it was. And so it's reminded them to enjoy the good things in their life that they've been taking for granted, right? To stay in the pain, and what can I learn from this? Now, I want to be clear, though, with some disclaimers here. The pain that you're having in your life is not caused by God. God's not sending pain to send you a message, right? The world's broken, and we have enough pain. But when we're in pain and when we're suffering, when we're going through crisis, God can take that pain and use it to bring something good into your life. If you're being abused in your life right now, God doesn't want you to stay in that situation and be abused so you can learn a lesson. That's not the point. God would want you to try and get out of that abusive relationship, but you could absolutely try to flee from that. But when we are in the midst of pain, there's something that we can learn from that. And it might blow away our filters, and it might be really painful, but it might be something that leads us to see good in our lives, including the fact that God is with us when we suffer. And sometimes we don't see God when things are going well, but when things are suffering, right, we're going to hold on to whatever we can hold on to, and we can see that God's right there with us because God understands suffering, because Jesus suffered. So maybe if you're going through a crisis right now, don't let it go to waste. Look for God and look for the filters to be blown away, and you might see something really good come into your life. So that's another way that we can see God unfiltered. I touched upon the next way last week just a little bit, but I want to go directly to the scripture. We're going to go to the book of Exodus in the Old Testament. There's a man named Moses, and God has called him to lead the people of Israel out of slavery to the Egyptians and back into the land of Israel. And Moses is not quite ready to be that leader yet. He is now on the run because he's committed murder. He saw an Egyptian who was beating a Hebrew, an Israelite slave, and it made him mad, and he had like this righteous anger, which was good, but he overdid it, and he killed the Egyptian. And so now he's run away. He started a new life. He's gotten married outside of where he was. His father-in-law is like a priest, like a pastor. And so Moses is starting over. And let's look at Moses' life and to see how his filters were blown away. Okay? So let's pick up the story with Moses, murderer, hiding from the law. Right? Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. And Moses saw that the bush was on fire, but it didn't burn up. Right? This is the burning bush story. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up, right? We probably all want to go see the bush. When the Lord saw that he'd gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is on holy ground. Then he said, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And at this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. So Moses, just doing his everyday activity, comes across this bush that's on fire, yet it's not burning up. Then the bush starts to talk to him. God's talking to him out of the bush and says, take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. Right? This is Moses encountering an unfiltered look at God. Right? No one would think that God shows up in a burning bush. Right? So, but what's exciting about this is that if Moses can see God in something that is everyday, like a bush, right, then God's going to show up to us in everyday life as well and give us moments of awe that we don't expect, right? In this, God takes something particular, something everyday, a bush, and he does something extraordinary with it, and we get a glimpse at who God is. And so I wonder in your life, in your life today, in your life this week, what might your burning bush be? Not a literal burning bush, not a talking burning bush, but something particular in your life that God is using to show you God. I guarantee there's something in your life that God is using to try to get your attention, right? So we just say, God, take the filters off my eyes. Take the lens off my eyes. God, help me see you in everyday life. And what I like about this more than I like about the crisis or the suffering is this is more fun, right? God, stun me with something that's awesome, right? That's what happened to Moses. He was awed. This was an awesome experience, right? So that could be your prayer this week. God, stun me with something that's awesome in my everyday life. And I guarantee you, if you're looking for that, you will see it. God will show God's self to you in a stunning way through the particular. I think of teachers who are doing the work of God in the school, right? It would be enough if teachers could just teach their students. But there's so much bureaucracy and headaches and all of this stuff that, right, it's easy to see why people are flocking away from the teaching profession. Right? They're not paid enough. They have to do all this extra stuff and seminars and all these things to keep track of, right? And just let them teach the kids, right? But in the midst of that pain and that suffering and all this extra bureaucracy, when one of the kids comes up to you at the end of the day with, you know, a snotty little nose and just gives you a hug and says, I love you, thanks for teaching me. That's your burning bush. Right? That is the particular that's showing the universal God. It's God working in everyday life, right? And you don't have to be a teacher. Whatever you do, wherever you are, God will show God's self to you. If you pray, God, stun me with something awesome. Let me see you. Take away my filters, right? Moses had no idea that a bush was going to show him God, right? So what could God be ready to show you in your life? God, stun me with something that's awesome. I love this quote from Richard Rohr here. The spiritual journey is constant interplay between moments of awe, like awesome, followed by a general process of surrender to that moment. Right? Enjoy the moment. Live in the moment. Will I ever see God again like this? Don't worry about it. Enjoy the moment. Thank you, God, for this moment. You are present. I'm going to take my shoes off. This is holy ground that I am standing on. Look for a moment of awe this week from God. All right, so one more way that I think we can see God unfiltered, and to kind of set this up, I don't think it's going to take us much. Like in our lives, we are so immersed in technology, which can be good and have lots of good. I have every Apple product that's made on the planet, except for those really cool new goggles. I don't have those yet. I don't have $4,000 to throw into some really cool goggles, right? But we're on our phones, we're on our tablets, we're on our televisions, we're on our screens, hours and hours and hours, right? And some of it's good, and some of it's way too much, right? But in this world that we've created like an artificial world. You can even be on your screen, you can even be with those goggles, and you could be looking at like the redwoods of California, and you're sitting here in South Park, and you're like, wow, this is so beautiful, I love this nature and all this kind of stuff. And we've created this unnatural world, right? It's nothing bad, it's just how it is. But I think when we're putting all these other filters, these screens and all this stuff, like we are missing God all around us in the world that God created. If you want to see God, right? I know I talked a lot about sunrises, sunsets, right? You can see God in sunrises and sunsets. You can see God every day in the physical world that God created. Look at this passage of scripture that Paul writes to the Romans. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. Like, how do people know about God if they haven't heard about God? For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made so that people are without excuse. Do you want to see God unfiltered in the world? Take a look at nature. Take your shoes off and walk out in the grass. Go outside and look at the birds and the trees. Right? If you're able to, hike in the mountains. If you're able to go to the ocean, go to the ocean. Right? If you're living in the city of Charlotte and say there's no nature, right? Go to the greenways. They're beautiful. Right? The city of Charlotte has created these beautiful greenways. Go see it. Right? If you want to see God unfiltered, look at the beauty of nature. Paul says, right, before there are even words in the Bible, God is visible in the creation, right? Some people call this the first Bible, right? Look at this slide here. The one before that, right? Engage with nature, right? Spend time with the first Bible. You want to see God unfiltered? Go out in nature. Right? It's a beautiful thing, right? And don't take your AirPods. Don't take your phone. Don't take your Apple Watch. Don't take your Android stuff, right? Get out in nature. Maybe it's 10 minutes. Maybe it's 30 minutes. Take your family, hike, walk, bike, whatever it is. You want to see God unfiltered, right? The Bible's a couple thousand years old. The planet's how many billions of years old, right? This is God speaking to us. So yesterday, rainy day, after how many rainy days, right? I have two boys. They are very active boys, want to be outside. And so Luke was out shooting basketball in the pouring rain. Nathan comes back. He's got a video of him and his friends riding their bikes through these huge puddles, right? And his clothes are like soaked on the floor when we got home, right? And then Nathan sent this video where he and his friends are just running as fast as they can onto the grass like a slip and slide without the slip and slide, right? Just sliding in the mud and the grass, right? It's a beautiful thing, right? Outside the laundry, because they're on screens all the time, but Laura and I really try to raise them in nature. Like, we have woods behind our house. Like, go outside. You have to have outside time, right? God is in nature. God will speak to you through the birds, to the trees. I know it sounds touchy-feely and tree-hugging and hippie kind of stuff, but it is true. Like, when I get stressed and anxious and things are going on, like, it helps me to walk out my door, go into the woods behind my house, 10 minutes, just I'm a different person. Because God's there. God's everywhere. You've heard of the word profane, right? Profane are things that are bad. You want to stay away from it. You know where the word profane comes from? It means to be outside the temple, right? To be outside the church. Like, things outside the church, things outside the temple, beware. The world can get you, and that's true. But I think sometimes we've gone to the extreme on that we think God's inside the church or God's inside the temple. Where God is in here, but God's also outside the temple. It's kind of like fish who are swimming around in water looking for water. We want to see the water. You're in the water, right? When you're outside of these walls, you're outside in nature. We want to see God. Where's God? You're there. Engage with nature. Right? Look for God's creation in nature. So what's the point today? What's the big idea? What's the takeaway? This is what I think it is. And you'll have heard it if you were here last week. Same thing as last week. Right? How we see is what we see. How we see the world through our lens, through our vision, right, through our filters is what we see. If we want to see a distrusting person, we're going to see a distrusting person, whether they're the best person in the world or not. If we want to see something that stuns us by God, we're going to see something that stuns us by God, because that's how God works. How we see is what we see. And sometimes we see it right. Sometimes our filters are 100% right. But sometimes we're missing what's right in front of us. A person, an event, God staring us right in the face, because our filters get in the way of that, right? How we see is what we see. How do you see in the world, right? So four quick action steps. We've been talking about one thing you can do each week about how to see God. We did four today, right? So you guys like quadrupled it, right? So wipe your lens, right? Those questions. What are my agendas? What things make me mad? What are my prejudices? Right? What drives me, right? Wipe that lens and see what that lens looks like. Hold the pain. Remember, this is the one we didn't like. Don't let a good crisis go to waste. I know that sounds trite, but it's true, right? Hold the pain. What can I learn from this, right? Surrender to awe. God, right? Shock me, right? Stun me. Something particular, let me see the universal God through that, right? And engage with nature. If you want to see God, read the first Bible, right? God's speaking to us. He's given us this beautiful nature. Enjoy that. So we've been talking about trying to see God in a different light. Another member of our church who's here today came up to me after the service last week and just had cataract surgery on one of her eyes, and she's going to have surgery on the other eye coming up. I said, how'd it go? She's like, it's great. I can see things that I've never seen before. And she comes to this service here. She said, Pastor Kyle, did you know there's an exit sign right back here? I don't know if you guys can see that upstairs, but there's an exit sign right. I saw it for the first time in 3 years. And it was great. And I can't wait to get my other eye done. I don't know what's going to be right there in front of me. And that's what this whole series is about, right? We see God, we see people through our filters, and it can be good, absolutely. But sometimes there's more to God, there's more to people, there's more to life that we can't see, and it's right in front of us. And if we just adjust our vision, it's gonna stand out, and we will see God in a different light. Open my eyes that I may see. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.